following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com.
Well, the beat goes on. Michigan certifying election results, Pennsylvania doing the same, Minnesota today. That drumbeat of the presidential election continues. We are paying attention here. So we got some coverage up this morning. And then, a bit later on, we'll talk to the Montanan that actually received more votes than even Donald J. Trump himself in this last election in our Treasure State. That's Austin Knutson. Will probably join us from some pickup truck somewhere where he's stocking the big game. That ahead here today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483. Or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, celebrating his unique talent to break the microphone in the studio, it's Tom Schultz.
And fix it before we need to go on the air. Yes,
very
thank you
talented.
Very much. I've been around Montana a long time, and so I learn how to adjust to
I
things.
I still can't believe that. The mic just fell right off last second.
Yep, wow. Yep, it's funny stuff. Great mic here, by the way, and great to have you along. Thank you so much for joining us again here for Voices of Montana. 2 decades strong, working on 3. I say that, I roll over that, but I don't say it lightly because there's been a lot of folks that have been a part of this and brought a lot of good content to the air. Newsmakers, that's what we're focusing now, is newsmakers, and we'll do some open phones, but we really like to touch on putting people that are making policy in contact with you so they can be held accountable. I think that's a huge part of it. Austin Knutson will join us a bit later on, and that poor guy, I mean, I got to admit, we got all these things going on. Yeah, you're looking at big tech and censorship and all these election allegations, and I'm going to ask him probably all those questions. He's going to roll in here into a philosophical discussion on what is wrong with our vote. And I'm not sure that anything drastically is, but we have talked here at length. Okay, and let me just say, too, I know making nobody happy is part of my job. I don't really set out to do that, but I think when that happens, that's good. I get calls from Democrats. They're mad at me because I'm going to talk about this contested election. And I'll say it's contested. But then I get text messages from GOP friends who say they're mad at me because I'll call Joe Biden the presumptive winner here, like I'm part of this conspiracy to illegally dub Joe Biden the winner. I'm not a part of that conspiracy. Nobody called me up and sent, here are the conspiracy talking points for today. No, it's just hard to quantify and, exactly where President Trump is, exactly where Joe Biden is. I think it's fair to say, as a lot have said, he is the presumptive winner in this one, but the president is not done yet. And as I have talked about, I'd like to see proof of these things come out. I wish there wasn't this election fraud or voter fraud going on. We know what happens, to what degree. It doesn't matter to what degree. It shouldn't happen. Anytime there's a question about this, and there have been hundreds of affidavits filed on behalf of the Trump team, at least received. And I'm not sure that they're all filed. I didn't see. I talked yesterday. They were going to file a big lawsuit in Georgia. They said they were going to do it Monday or possibly Tuesday. That did not come down the pike yesterday that I saw. So that's still pending, and that's unrelated to what this press conference was with Giuliani and Ellis and Sidney Powell on Thursday. Sokolow, the attorney for the president, said that there's no relation to those allegations that that part of the Trump legal team made on Thursday. I won't back up into that too much. I want to move forward here. As President Donald Trump said late Monday, that, and there was a move by the General Services Administration, the GSA, and I've worked in politics, and the GSA, they are just one of those, they're kind of a docile organization. They count the desks, and they count the equipment, and you know, they're balancing the books, and they have got a job to do here in terms of possibly making way for a new administration. So There was an administration official with the GSA that didn't concede this election, didn't say, or I shouldn't say concede, didn't say that that it was, that Joe Biden is the next president, but nonetheless, and what's her name? Erin Murphy. She notified the Biden team that some transition resources, including around $7.3 million funds, are going to be made available to his team. Again, that's just the GSA, and they're moving forward. They kind of need to move forward, and Trump he's not firing anybody from the GSA. As a matter of fact, he said, I want to thank Emily Murphy at GSA for her steadfast dedication and loyalty to our country. And this is what Murphy had claimed, too, and this is why it bothers me. Continuing on with Trump's tweet here, she has been harassed, threatened, and abused. Again, that's Murphy's claims. I do not want to see this happen to her, her family, or employees of the GSA. Yeah, there's certainly some nastiness and some snarkiness that goes on with election fraud, potential election fraud. But to finish this one out, Donald Trump did say we are moving full speed ahead. We'll never concede to fake ballots and Dominion, referring to the Dominion voting machine election platform. And that's about it. So let me update you here in as we take a break and come on back. The Georgia recount requested by the Trump campaign is to begin today. They won a slight lawsuit in moving the Pennsylvania court to an appellate court. I'll update you on that. And then we got a few things to talk about here as well, Montana related. Kurt Almy, our U.S. attorney, resigning effective December 2nd. That and more ahead here on Voices of Montana. Oh, does anybody not get the pun? COVID-19, we're all sick of this. Yeah, and I get it. I hear that an awful lot. Welcome back. Voices of Montana is from Montana for Montana. Picking up here where I left off, the Georgia recount requested by the Trump campaign begins today. Counties have a deadline of December 2nd at midnight to complete this recount. They are it's underway today. This follows four uncovered batches of uncounted ballots that represented, some 6,000 votes there. And there's a major election going on still in Georgia, as we have talked about here, the Senate race. Right now the Senate is 50-48 in favor of the GOP, and the next GOP elected will give the majority to the Senate and power in that body. Very, very key. So cleaning this up ahead of that election, I think, is just going to serve us all well. The Trump campaign requested signature matching as part of that recount. That was backed by Georgia's two senators as well, but their Secretary of State, who's a Republican, denied that request. Anyway, going on today is the Georgia recount. Michigan yesterday certified their vote, and they defend that action. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, she's a Democrat, had talked about there are allegations in Michigan that this chain. Let me just read it. There was a post by Charles Gaba, a healthcare analyst, and who was in a series of tweets was doing this running commentary. And the big comment came from the a former state senator, Patrick Kolbeck, who's a Republican there in Michigan. And he served as a poll challenger in Detroit. And he is saying that the results are not certifiable because the chain of custody had been broken. You might want to look into that to kind of understand what a chain of custody is. Essentially, these votes have to be watched and protected and monitored at all times through the entire vote counting, the voting and the vote counting chain. A former state senator is asserting that in order to ensure that a proper completion of election records has been accomplished, it is critical there is a clear chain of custody maintained in this election. And he's saying that's been violated. So that is going to be looked into in Michigan if this senator, this former state senator, makes a complaint to the attorney general in the case. It just can't be made to the public, and that hasn't happened yet, but he said he's willing to do that. This is sort of interesting. Dominion, which is the company, Dominion Voting Systems, the company kind of at the center of some of this controversy. You understand that one of those machines, was it in Michigan or Wisconsin? I think it was Michigan. Had a malfunction with 6,000 votes. They claimed it was human error. And anyway, you started looking into Dominion Voting Systems, and that's the big charge. That's the big cracking on steroids that Sidney Powell has yet to release, so to speak, allegedly. Want to see it in paper, but I know it's going to take some time to get to the courts. Anyway, they were scheduled to appear before Pennsylvania lawmakers. They had agreed to appear before a hearing Government Oversight Committee, state hearing there. And then later on, just recently said, we're not going to be appearing before that hearing. And of course, that had raised some eyebrows as one of the Pennsylvania lawmakers, Seth Grove, who's a Republican, had set up this hearing and invited them in. They accepted it. And then later on, rejected it. Instead of running towards the light of honesty and integrity, Dominion Voting Systems retreated to the darkness. Why? That's what he's questioning. I think Dominion's response there is pretty logical in that they are a little leery about threats of litigation coming. And this is it. However, the conversation was overshadowed yesterday by threats of litigation coming towards our company during a national press conference, said the spokesman. Her name is Kay Stimson, Dominion's vice president of government affairs. So they canceled that meeting before the Government Oversight Committee in Pennsylvania. Just one other note to pass on here. Minnesota lawmakers plan a lawsuit to stop certification of election results. That's supposed to happen today. And so that's yet to be seen what will come of this. But nonetheless, Minnesota lawmakers, and without getting into it here, running out of time, what they're saying is there's a lot of folks that made up rules along the way because of COVID-19. And we've got to have a constitution that directs us in these regards. And we go back to that because it's the law. That's happened in a couple of cases, and that will be played out in Minnesota. We're back with more Austin Knutson next here on Voices of Montana. All right, fifth generation Austin Knutson grew up in that eastern Montana community of Bainville. He and the family there. He was a bobcat. He was a grizzly. And most of all, it seems like he's a family man, your next attorney general. He actually, and Austin, welcome. Thanks for being here. Got more votes than Donald Trump in Montana this last camp election. Are you puffed up a little bit over that one?
It was a pretty good night. Yeah, we were pleasantly surprised with the vote turnout, for sure.
Yeah, officially, and you've got the largest margin of victory in this last election over Rafe Grabel, and Rafe ran a good campaign, and I appreciate your guys' civility following that. I'm going to ask you about that later on, but you won 59% to 41%, so that's the largest margin of victories percentage-wise, but you didn't get the most votes. Christy Jacobson got more votes than you did, 352,000 to your 348. So
she eked me out by just a percentage point. Yeah, and congrats to her. I mean, she ran a great campaign too. I'm excited to serve with her.
Yeah, yeah. What do you make of that on election night, Austin? Those kinds of things. You know, there's a lot of people in politics who play the numbers, and they're good at the numbers. But you also got to have a feel for what's going on out there. What do you make of those kind of things as you're getting ready to be attorney general?
Well, I mean, I think this puts to bed the entire argument that Montana is a purple state, Tom. We've been hearing that for years. You know, we heard that back when I was in the legislature, and, you know, we were electing Brian Schweitzer and Steve Bullock, but then we're also electing Republican legislatures. And we heard that for years. Montana's purple, Montana's purple, Montana's purple. Boy, as of November 4th, I don't think we can say that anymore. I mean, this was a solid mandate, I think, from Montanans. And not just Republicans, because you look at those numbers. I mean, look at my race. For certain, there were Democrats that crossed over and voted for me. As far as my race goes, I think this means people are concerned about law and order, they're concerned about safety, and they're concerned about the crime rate.
I think that's a good read on that. That's you would get the ultimate read on it, but that's sort of my read too, because I think you're known in conservative circles especially, but certainly around the state of Montana, as a pretty solid conservative. And to pick up Democratic votes, I think it signals to the need that we were seeing in this country. There was an abandonment when we look at the riots in Seattle and Portland and other places, and the reasoning for that riot was just folks wanting to go steal from stores in some places. I think we saw an abandonment of law and order. Is that your read on this, that that's where you picked up some of those Democratic votes?
I think absolutely. I think there's no question that in the Attorney General's race, law and order was the real issue. My Democrat opponent kept trying to talk about health care and, some of the bigger social issues, and certainly those are important. But, man, as I was out traveling, people were talking about meth. They're talking about crime. They're looking at Portland and Seattle and Minneapolis and these riots that were happening. And look, that's not very far away from us. And when you really got into the communities in Montana, that's what people were talking about. And that's what they were concerned about. And frankly, they were horrified by what they were seeing, and rightly so.
Yeah, me too. As I follow it along, as I look at senseless violence that has been enacted upon, and it goes on both sides. I know it happens out there, but just for those political purposes, that's just pure hatred. Austin Knutson is with us, the newly elected attorney general. I guess it's AG-elect. He'll start serving here in January. I wanted to have you, Austin, follow up because I didn't see a ton, and maybe I'm not paying enough of attention, but a ton of that kind of civility we have come to expect in Montana following elections. You ran a good race. Thank you, sir. I note your concerns, and I appreciate them, and will serve all the people of Montana. Those kinds of statements. But you and Rafe did share those, didn't you?
We did. You know, he's a very civil, professional guy, which, I mean, just as an attorney, within our profession, I think that's the way that we should behave as lawyers. But throughout this campaign, you know, we'd bump into each other. I talked to him a couple times in the hallways at the Capitol. Rafe was always very civil, very polite, professional. Certainly we agreed on nothing politically. But I think that shows that you don't have to hate somebody and get personal just because you don't agree with their politics. And, you know, the morning after the election, I got a phone call from Rafe right away at 8 o'clock in the morning conceding the race. And, you know, there were no sour grapes. There was a lot of encouragement. And I found that to be very, very professional and refreshing, frankly.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Appreciated talking with Rafe on the air here, too. Austin Knutson is with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about some of the things that he will have to work on. One is, obviously, as he'd mentioned on the campaign trail, that's still this battle against meth and other federal Schedule One drugs that can wreak havoc in communities and families. So that's ahead here with Austin Knutson after these headlines from Brian Bennett.
110 contracted medical staff have arrived in Montana to assist hospitals in responding to the spike in COVID-19 cases. A total of 200 are expected by Thanksgiving, who will remain until the end of the year, aiding hospitals that are at or near capacity. 20,500 unemployment insurance payments were issued by the Montana Department of Labor and Industry for the week of November 16th through the 20th. They totaled over $9 million, providing benefits to eligible Montanans. The department continues to encourage anyone who believes they may be eligible to file a claim online at montanaworks.gov. The formation of the over 60-member COVID-19 vaccination plan coordination team has been announced by the Department of Public Health and Human Services. It is comprised of key stakeholders in various sectors across the state, many of whom are already established COVID-19 crisis response partners. With Montana News headlines, I'm Brian Bennett.
At 866-627-5483, if you want to ask Austin a question, those phones are always open. I don't always give the number out there, but please do. He's a policymaker. He's your AG-elect, Austin Knutson. At 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. Austin, I'll share this text message with you here on the other side of this break. One of your campaign platforms is to fight hard against this scourge of methamphetamine. And it's not Always just to go out and try to arrest as many people as you can. It's a drug. It's addictive. It has social consequences. There's a lot of ways that you have to attack this problem. Now that you're going to be sitting in this seat, where are you at? I mean, you're transitioning into this office, but talk about these plans now that have to come together, regarding fighting methamphetamine. What have you got there now?
Sure. Well, so there's a couple things to unpack there in that text. First of all, methamphetamine is not a victimless crime. There certainly are nonviolent offenders out there who get caught with a little bit of user amount of methamphetamine. And for those offenders, I mean, I think treatment and help is the right tool to use for those sorts of offenders. But you have to understand, Tom, and I've seen it myself, methamphetamine use 9 times out of 10 leads to more methamphetamine use, leads to methamphetamine trafficking, leads to burglaries, leads to assaults. It really does snowball for many, many individuals. Now, not all, but many of them. And we also have to remember the children here. I mean, the reason the Montana's foster system is so overwhelmed is because of methamphetamine use. We've got parents that would literally rather do methamphetamine than care for their children. So I have to push back a little bit on this idea that methamphetamine use is victimless. It absolutely is not. But certainly we need to get some treatment tools out there. There are treatment tools out there, but what I want to see is we're going to focus more on local treatment. This is a headache that I've had as the Roosevelt County attorney. There are not a lot of local treatment options. We know that drug and addiction treatment works best in that person's community when they're close to their support system, they're close to their home, and they're close to their family. And we've completely gotten away from that model as the state of Montana. We focused on central, state-run treatment centers that are oftentimes a long ways away from people's homes. And that's really one of the things that I want to focus on and change.
Interesting. I appreciate that. I'm not sure I have time here, but I got 2 minutes up to the break. Let me add something. Text message again, 781-627-5483. Hey, Austin, congratulations on your election going forward. What's your plan on dealing with the drug dealer problems in these small communities? Kind of in line with what we were talking about earlier. Most small agencies rely heavily on DCI's experience and resources to go after drug dealers, but there's only a couple of agents in eastern Montana. Are there plans to add a couple more agents in eastern Montana? This is Ray from Sydney. Thanks, Ray.
Ray, that's a great question, and yes is a quick answer. Because you're spot on, and this is one of the things that I ran on, is getting more resources out to rural Montana for enforcement. And not just for enforcement, but also prosecution, because when you start talking to these local sheriff's offices in the rural counties that are dealing with this, a lot of prosecutions are getting missed. It isn't that the enforcement isn't there. It's that maybe the county attorney's office doesn't have enough staff or time to get all these prosecutions. But quick answer, I know we're running up against the break here.
We got time.
Quick answer is yes. Yeah, we'll definitely be beefing up. I want to get some more prosecution assistance out. And I'm not talking just DOJ. I really want to work with the legislature and get some more funding out to the counties, so that your counties can decide if they want to hire a drug investigator for the sheriff's office, or maybe they want to hire another county attorney, an assistant prosecutor, to keep up with prosecution. I mean, I think that's a local decision that should be made by your county commissioners.
Austin Knudsen, your AG-elect, will come on back. I've got another text here regarding Obamacare health insurance. We'll address that. Also, we've got to talk a little bit about election integrity, because everybody else is. And then, oh, look at this. I saw Kurt Almay resigning as U.S. attorney from Montana. I wonder what he might do next. Let's take a break. Come on back with more of Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Is there a guy in Glendive having a birthday today? There is. There is a guy in Glendive having a birthday today. If you see that guy, wish him happy birthday. A couple of things here. Tomorrow, Greg Holtzman's going to be on the program, and he's the state medical examiner. DP, is it DPPHHHS? Or, anyway, he's going to be, we've got a surge. It is a spike. 110 contracted medical staff have arrived in Montana to assist hospitals in responding to this. And Greg Holtzman, Dr. Holtzman, will be on the program tomorrow to kind of get us up to date. Also, I'm going to get up to date on chronic wasting disease to a certain degree, but also this harvest. Of course, Fish, Wildlife, and Park have been studying chronic wasting disease. They've done some testing this year. Big game hunter check stations across the state have been open and have been willing to take your samples because they want to submit it for testing. You can also bring your animals by the FWP regional office for sampling as well if you have concerns. Bob Gibson is going to be on the program tomorrow to talk about that. Austin Knutson is with us today. Austin, I kind of joked earlier that you're probably going to be calling us from some pickup truck somewhere, scoping out some big game in eastern Montana. Was I wrong?
Well, technically you are wrong. Okay. If I was going to be anywhere, I'd be on a mountaintop in western Montana looking for elk.
But right now,
This whole election thing has kind of thrown a wrench into my hunting plan.
I suppose. How's the transition going?
It's been going fine. We've been slowly but surely putting together our transition committee, which we're very excited about. We're actually having our first meeting today. I've got a great cross-section of county attorneys, law enforcement, private business folks that are going to help us out. We've got about a dozen people that are going to do some interviews and look at some resumes and help us get some positions filled. If anyone is interested, and you don't have to be a lawyer, folks. I mean, I need administrators, too. There's positions that need filled. Please send me your resume and send me a cover letter at jobs.doj@gmail.com, and we'll take a look.
Nice. Kurt Almay might be looking for a job. U.S. Attorney for Montana just announced his retirement, which is usual, kind of par for the course. If there may be a transition change in the administration, so I'm just throwing that out there. Ron joins us from Columbia Falls, listening on KOFI 1180 AM. Ron, thank you for calling. You're on the air with Austin Knutson.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and I'm glad to hear you bring up something about drugs. I have a major, major concern about Oregon passing their drug laws, and I'd like to know, I'm hoping that officials in the state of Montana and the federal government are waking up to what in the prune juice is going to happen when you have a state that close to us where all drugs are legal. And I hope somewhere we're going to address it. I hope somebody says something about it. Thanks for taking my call. And by the way, I have a reason to be concerned. I have had two family members in the past that drugs have affected, and I don't want to see it in Montana.
Ron,
thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for those comments as well. And Austin, as you know, people suffer greatly. Families, communities can suffer greatly in community or at the level because of drugs. But also, it's a social issue. We have legalized marijuana in Montana. It's hard. I don't even know how to ask the question here, Austin, because on one hand, you've got people who can responsibly maybe use recreationally, not some of these hard drugs. I fear for that. But as a society, we seem to be moving toward relaxing those when the law enforcement is going to say, hey, these are gateway drugs. These are going to cause problems in our society. I don't envy making this transition in Montana, having to enforce marijuana laws and drug laws in a confusing time.
Well, yeah, and you're spot on. And Ron, let me respond to you first. You bring up a great point, and it is a concern that we need to be focused on here in Montana. One of our neighbor states has now fully legalized hard Schedule I drugs. I mean, we're not just talking about marijuana. We're talking about a lot of the harder drugs, you know, quote-unquote federally illegal drugs. And that's one of the real problems that Oregon's going to run into, is that a lot of these drugs still are federally illegal, which is going to create some really interesting legal problems. But look, we know the states that have legalized marijuana have seen a pretty dramatic uptick in crime, all crime, but particularly petty crime and property crime. We can follow that. We can trace that, whether it's California, whether it's Colorado, whether it's Washington. We are going to see the same thing now here in the state of Montana, which is a huge concern. But I think Oregon's going to see it even more so now that they've fully legalized. You're going to see a lot of people come out of the woodwork, move to Oregon. And, you know, I'm not even going to go into the gateway drug. Does it lead to other things? We, again, just from a law enforcement prosecutor standpoint, we absolutely know that increased drug use leads to increased crime. This is settled science. So this is something that we are absolutely going to have to deal with, and we're going to have to be diligent about it for sure.
How long before Montana gets a handle on their new recreational marijuana laws?
Well, I don't think we're going to see any answers from that until the legislature convenes and starts dropping in some bill drafts, frankly. You know, I can remember when I was a freshman legislator in 2010, Montana had just passed its medical marijuana initiative. And it took a lot of gnashing of teeth for the legislature to have some committee hearings and vet a lot of ideas and take a lot of testimony before it finally kind of got its arms around it. I think we've just compounded this even bigger. I don't envy those in the legislature. Certainly my Department of Justice is going to be up there and be involved in these discussions. I think we have a responsibility to be up there and give our input on behalf of Montana law enforcement and what challenges this initiative is going to bring. But, you know, the people of Montana have spoken, and they haven't just spoken quietly. They were quite loud about it. We've legalized recreational marijuana in the state of Montana, and now it's up to the legislature and your elected officials to put some arms around it, get some sideboards on it, and regulate it, and here we go.
This kind of goes back to this text message here, 781-627-5483. And I know we're kind of talking about it, maybe around it a little bit, but if Montanans are so interested in law and order, how do you explain the marijuana proposition passing? We talked about, we're not necessarily a purple state, but I think Montanans are who would claim to be conservative are also pretty open to a lot of things. It's that rugged individualism that we like to talk about, you take care of your business, I'll take care of mine, and we really shouldn't have any conflict in that regard. But the question is, how do you explain the marijuana proposition passing if Montanans are so interested in law and order?
I think you've got a very big libertarian streak in the state of Montana. Yeah. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. And I think a lot of Montanans have the same attitude about marijuana that I do. Just as a prosecutor, it's not a big priority for me. It's never been something I've done or something I've been interested in doing, but I've certainly been around it. From my perspective, there are a lot bigger problems than marijuana. That's the way I feel about it, and I think that's the way a lot of Montanans feel about it. We're dealing with methamphetamine. We're dealing with violent crime uptick. You know, that's now, last year the number was we had a 36% uptick in violent crime in Montana. I talked to, you mentioned U.S. Attorney Kurt Almey. I spoke to him a few days ago, and he told me, well, get ready. The U.S. Department of Justice says we've ticked up another 8 points in violent crime. I think that's what people are concerned about, And so I don't think this is a mutually exclusive thing. People can be concerned about their communities and their families and what's going on in the neighboring states and still say, you know what, marijuana just isn't a high priority. I think everyone probably knows people that use it. Obviously Montanans thought it was time to decriminalize it.
Yeah, it'll be something we'll have to watch. I guess you can see it coming. I hope we made it wisely. I hope we thought this through. I mean, there's going to be some consequences for it. I believe that we'll rise to the challenge in that regard. And it's going to be law. And so we'll move forward with it. Can you hang on for a few more minutes here?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good. Because I wanted to come back. I'd like to take a break here, but I want to come back and talk about the antitrust lawsuit that the current attorney general's office is in for the state of Montana. having the continuity and moving those things forward. I'm sure you're looking at the paperwork and things like that, but I want to get some of your thoughts on that as we come on back. Attorney General-elect Austin Knutson is with us here today on Voices of Montana. Served in the legislature before, was the youngest ever Speaker of the House elected in 2015, reelected in 2017, has experience there, and now will be moving to the Attorney General's office. Austin Knutson, Attorney General-elect. So when do you drop the Roosevelt County attorney hat?
That will be officially on December 31st.
On December 31st. All right. And thanks for being here. Appreciate that. I wanted to talk about the, well, big tech. We've got, Montana is involved in a lawsuit. I think there are 10 states in total that have charged Google with antitrust violations. This is regarding their search engine. But I'm curious as if to that might turn and warp into more of an effort, other states joining this look at censorship regarding big tech. Is that on your plate, Austin?
You know, it's certainly something that we're talking about, Tom. I haven't been able to get a full briefing from Attorney General Fox's office yet. We were supposed to sit down with all the agency heads last week and get a full briefing for a solid 2 days. There was a bit of a COVID scare within his office, and then some other internal stuff, and so that ended up not happening.
Yeah.
So I would love to tell you that I'm up to speed on what's going on, but unfortunately, I'm not. I've talked with a lot of other state attorneys general, and this is definitely something that's on everyone's radar. We're looking a lot at these federal issues. I mean, whether it's censorship and the First Amendment, we have to be prepared for the eventuality that we have a Biden administration. I certainly don't advocate for it. I hope our president is able to find some fraud and prove that he won the election. But we have to prepare for the worst. I'm very concerned about a Joe Biden administration coming in where he doesn't have control of the Senate and suddenly trying to do things by executive order fiat. And I am dedicated to having a Solicitor General position in the Montana Department of Justice set up and ready to go on these big federal issues. I mean, whether it's overreach on environmental stuff or the one that I'm really passionate about is the Second Amendment. If we have a Biden Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms stepping in and arbitrarily passing regulations and saying certain accessories or magazines or even certain types of firearms are now arbitrarily illegal, we're going to be the first at the courthouse to file that lawsuit.
I got a sense of relief on my end for that. Thank you, Austin. Mr. Knutson is dead set on overturning Obamacare. 781-627-5483 is our text message here. If he is successful, what does he tell all the people who lose their health insurance? That's misleading. The Republican Party had 4 years to come up with a better plan and came up with nothing. That might be true. How does the AG's office and our health insurance come together, Austin? Obamacare.
Well, I mean, that's you know, first of all, I'd say the campaign is over. That sounds like it came straight out of the Democrat Party.
This is a gentleman who texts us frequently. Probably leans to the left, but is really good about approaching these topics.
So I certainly do not support Obamacare. I never have. When I was in the legislature, I fought against Medicaid expansion very, very vigorously. I still think it's been a bad deal for the state of Montana long term. I think we're going to pay for it. Now, with that said, the case has been completely submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court. At this point, I don't see any tactical reason for the state of Montana to join that lawsuit at this late juncture. It literally would be like trying to sub in, you know, during double overtime. You know, the game's pretty well over. I don't support it, but as you said, I mean, this is a congressional problem. This is a legislative problem. I agree. Congress needs to do its job, and they need to come up with some sort of an alternative to the train wreck that Obamacare has been. Everyone's premiums have gone up. Wait times have gotten longer. No one, I don't think, could say with a straight face that their quality of health care has gotten better, and the bureaucracy has gotten worse. So that's where I stand on that lawsuit. As the Attorney General elect, not something we're going to jump into.
All right. Hey, I appreciate your time here. Say hello to Christy and the kids. And I'm curious as if they're moving to Helena or not, but we don't have time to talk about that. Just have a happy, lovely Thanksgiving, Austin.
You too. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Austin Knutson, AG elect here on Voices of Montana. For Josh Rath, the most excellent in-studio engineer, I'm Tom Schultz, Dr. Greg Holtzman tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.